Facebook page, and here are some of the answers that I had. Yes, back. Yes. Allison says, always park in gear, and Claire commented, I ignored the parking in gear advice, and we all know what happened as her little car rolled along her driveway and crashed into a neighbor's wall. So always park your car in gear. Next, Molly. Charlotte, one of my friends says, don't crack because it's over. Smile because it happened. Some great words of wisdom. Next one, measure twice, cut once. Always helpful. Susan Hanlon says, my dad's last words to me when I left home for university were, hold on to your faith and never let go. And she shares how that was really helpful. John Baker says, there are no stumbling blocks. There are no stumbling blocks in life. They are stepping stones in disguise. So that's quite helpful. One of our friends says, there is nothing that you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. And there was quite a lot of likes on the comment. Next one, one of my friends said, guns to cut the rappers do. Not really sure how helpful that is. And somebody said, never eat shredded wheat. Changed the direction my life was going in. He always has a smart answer. So there's a whole range of things that if we were asked, what is the greatest piece of advice we've given, we could answer. And what I want to share with you is some great advice that Jesus shares with us through the Bible as he is confronted by the religious leaders of his time, and it is found in Matthew chapter 22, and we'll read it here together. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Jesus here says, love God and love others. And I really believe that this is the best advice anyone has ever given. And that's really helpful as we think about street reach next quick as well. So we're just going to show a short video, so that will help us understand it.
Check this out. 1,977 years, 134 days, 16 hours, and 28 minutes ago, Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus simply answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." The Message says, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion, prayer, and intelligence." You see, our love for God must be sincere, not just by the words we speak, but also by engaging our souls. Truly love God, we must be passionate about Him, inside and out. The only way to follow this command is to make loving God our first priority. That means everything else takes a back seat. But there's more. Jesus also said, the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself, which also means love others as well as you love yourself. Love the unlovable, love the ones who don't deserve it, and love like you want to be loved. So the lesson is simply this, love God, love others. But the great thing is, if we make loving God our first priority, then loving others comes naturally.
Great. So a little bit of background to this passage is that the Sadducees and the Pharisees really do not like who Jesus is and all of his claims to be God. And they really weren't happy at the level of popularity that he was enjoying either. And they were all the really religious people of the day and they had a lot of control in their society. And whenever Jesus came along, he actually pointed out how a lot of them were actually hypocrites and how they had turned following God into a list of rules and regulations. And throughout all of the Gospels, we see them always trying to catch Jesus out. And here we read of one of the showdowns. And in this showdown, what happens is one of the Pharisees in verse 35, who was an expert in the law, a high-ranking official, he came to Jesus with this test of which was the greatest commandment in the law. So what is the law and why does it really matter? Well, in the Old Testament, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, which summarize a lot of the law. And flowing from these Ten Commandments, there were 613 other commandments. And what the Pharisees done is that they actually ranked all of these laws in the order of importance. And they loved to meet up and argue and share what they thought was the most important law and how to implement the law into the wider society. They were a wee bit like Chris Rose here. He loves the law. He loves the traffic law and he loves to enforce that law onto others as well. And we're really glad of people like him in society, unless they catch us, and then we aren't so glad. However, look at how Jesus answers their question here in verse 37. Jesus quotes directly from Deuteronomy, one of the books of the law in the Old Testament, and he quotes a really familiar passage, and he says, "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And he doesn't leave the answer there. He actually goes on and he names the second most important command, and he says, "It is just second, or it is of similar importance, and it is that you have to love others as you love yourself." So he says, love God in your vertical relationship, and then love others in your horizontal relationship. So was Jesus right? Well, of course he was right. Why was he right? Well, he was right, and as he went right to the heart of what the laws were, and it was all about loving God and loving others. Jesus said in verse 40, all of the other laws and the prophets hang on these two laws. So if you look at the rest of the Ten Commandments, we see that if we love God, then we will naturally obey the first four. And if we then love others, we will naturally obey the second six. Was I going to hopefully show you there? So love God, love people, and you won't have any trouble at all with the rest of the law. So as we think about street wages and as we think about the rest of our lives here at Bangor, what's the greatest piece of advice that I can give you? Well, it is the advice, and it's also the command of Jesus. It is to love God and love others, and then allow all of our actions to flow from that. So how are we then practically able to love God and others as street reach and in our wider world this week? Well, as I thought of it, I realized on our own we actually can't. On our own, we all fail to love God and we fail to love others. And the problem of sin that we've had since Genesis 3 has meant that we haven't loved God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and we haven't loved others as ourselves. And how has that happened? Well, in lots of ways. We have replaced God with a lot of other gods of money, pleasure, and power, and we haven't loved others. We have stole from others. We have wanted what others have, and we have lied to others. And we could really spend the rest of the evening sharing how we haven't loved God and how we haven't loved others. And sadly, the problem is still with us. And if we want to love God and love others this week as street weeks, we will probably fail, or on our own strength we will fail. So the advice of loving God and loving others is great advice, but it's a massive burden for us to carry, and it sets the bar too high for us to reach. So what's the solution? Is there any hope for us at all here? How can we take this good advice and how can we put it into practice in our lives? Well, there is hope and there is encouragement, and it's all to be found in Jesus Christ. He is the one who perfectly loved God and who perfectly loved others as well. He is the one that fully kept the law. All of the Ten Commandments and the 631 others that came along with it. He is the one who, whenever he measured his life up against the laws, he got 100%. And the good news of the gospel is that whenever we are trusting in Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, we get his 100% record. That's what the Bible calls justification. We are made right in God's eyes. So as you head out to street reaches or into whatever the week ahead holds, I'm not going to leave you with the burden of you must love God and you must love others, but I'm going to leave you with the good news that Jesus' record is now your record, and to encourage you to let that reality just to sink into your life and then to feel your love for others. Here in this screen, we read later on in the Bible that says we love God because he first loved us. Our love and our actions are always a response to God's love and action to us. And we are then able to love him and love others in a response. It's similar. If I handed you a box of sweets, you can either hoard all the sweets for yourself, or you can offer me some sweets back, or you can share your sweets with others as well. And it's the same with God's love. He really does love you, and you can then love him, and you can then love others. And whenever we share his love with others, he then fills us up with his love so that we can then keep on sharing his love with others. So maybe you're saying, well, I understand all this. How can I allow all of this to start happening? What advice have you got? Well, here's a few pointers for the week ahead. Allow God to love you. The Bible describes God as a father who lavishes his love on his children. Allow him to lavish his love on your life. Spend quality time with your father. Read about his love for you and most of all, allow it to impact your life. We cannot love God if we haven't first experience his love for us in Christ. And we cannot love others if we are running on an empty tank. So allow God to love you and allow that love to sink in. Next is to love. Back one. So allow God to love you, and then love God. How can we do this? Well, live a life of gratitude for what he has done for us. Live in obedience to him. Worship him with your words, actions, and your life. Serve him with your time and with your money, and get rid of all the idols and gods that have taken over your life, and allow love and worship to be directed to God. Love others. So as we allow God to love us, and as we allow his love just to lavish on us, and as we love God in return in our obedience and worship, part of that obedience will be loving others. And we can't claim to love God and hate other people. It's just not possible. But as we truly love God, we will naturally start to love other people. Now, loving others isn't always easy. Any of you who have an older or younger brother or sister will know just how hard that is. Some people can just be really annoying quite a lot of the time, and sometimes they could be really ungrateful for what you have done for them, or simply there are some people who we just won't click with. However, whenever you feel like that, always remember God's love for us. Even though we had totally rebelled against him, we not only annoyed him. The Bible says that we were once his enemies, yet he still loved us, even in our rebellious state, and he came to rescue us. So as we consider loving others, always consider God's love for you. So we are to allow God to love us, and then we are to love God and love others. Maybe you are asking, who are the others that we are to love? Well, that's a really good question. I'm glad that you've asked it. There are two categories of people who we are to love, and sometimes they will be hard to love. Firstly, any of you who are heading on street routes, you are to love others on your team. There's going to be 60 people from a range of churches and backgrounds on your team, and you're not going to naturally like everyone. Some might actually be pretty annoying, but we are called to love them. And at the end of the 3 days, if you have chosen to love others on the team, you will have made some really good friendships. Leaders here, love the young people who you are leading. Young people, love the other members of your team and your leaders as well, even when they ask you to do stuff that you really don't want to do. And if we love one another as a group of young people and of leaders, it's such a great witness to the world that is looking on. Secondly, love those who are living in Kukuli. We are going to be serving others who we don't know, or who maybe in the past we have judged because of where they are from, or what they do for a living, or what organizations they associate themselves with, or what what sort of clothes they wear. However, these are people who are made in the image of God and who have incredible value and worth as human beings. We've got to love those who we are going to serve. So how can we love those who we're going to serve? I just want to highlight two ways as we close. Firstly, we can pray for them. We love our team and we love others if we pray for them and asking God to step into their lives and to reveal His grace to them. Prayer is the greatest thing that we can do for any other human being. And the greatest thing that we can do for the other people on the team and for the people of Kilkilly. That is why in the morning we are going to be spending time praying for them as a team. And I really encourage you to pray for them on your own as well. And if there is somebody in your life who you're really struggling to love, can I encourage you to start praying for them? It will really help you to start loving them as you pray for them. It's a really wonderful and heart-changing experience. Second, share Christ. We have the greatest news that the world has ever heard. We have the hope of the gospel that even though we are more sinful than we ever thought, we are more loved than we ever hoped. As we share Christ, share how He has come and He has come to save them and to redeem them. Hands somebody one of the Gospels, a flyer. Share your sort with them. Share how you came to know Christ. The Gospel has the power to transform, hopefully, a lot of laughs. However, what it is ultimately going to bring is the opportunity for you to fulfill the two greatest commandments in life, to love God and to love others and to make a real impact for Him.